You would open with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We are finishing our journey through Ephesians today. Ephesians chapter 6, I'll be reading out of the Pew Bibles that are in front of you. If you'd like to open up with us, that'll be page 950, page 950, Ephesians chapter 6. If you're looking in a digital Bible this morning, if you turned on and are scrolling to Ephesians chapter 6, we'll be in the NIV if you want to follow along in the same translation that we're in. Ephesians ends this way very intentionally. This passage is called the Armor of God passage. If you've been in church or Bible study any length of time, you've perhaps heard a series going through this Armor of God passage, going through piece by piece Paul's exhortation to his church to clothe themselves in truth, in righteousness, and in the gospel of peace. In fact, the preschool moms right now here at the church are doing this Bible study. They're doing it at my house. They're going through the Priscilla Schurer Armor of God study. If you'd like to follow that up after they're done, they have the curriculum for you. There's all kinds of excellent studies that you can look through in studying piece by piece this Armor of God passage. But following the way that we have been going through Ephesians today, we're going to take the whole chunk all together. We're going to go all the way through chapter 6. This is because there is so much value in you studying Scripture verse by verse and spending a lot of time in each individual piece. There is likewise so much help in you studying Scripture by zooming out just a little bit to get a larger picture of what's going on. If you just look piece by piece through this armor of God, there's so much that you'll miss in the verses right before it and the verses right after it to understand the implications, the application, what all it means to be clothed in righteousness, to be wrapped in truth, and to be ready with the gospel of peace. So let's look today. We will begin in verse 10 of chapter 6 and read through verse 20. If you will, pray with me as we come to read Scripture. Father God, may the reading of your word and the hearing of your word be worship to you today. Father, put your spirit on us to teach us something new about yourself so that we can worship you better. This I pray in your name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, Paul encourages, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. This is the word of the Lord today. First, Paul begins by saying, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. As we've looked through Ephesians, we've seen in the first three chapters the gospel presented. We hear who this God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who works on our behalf. We heard who we were by birth, children of wrath. Scripture says that we were doomed and dead men walking. But at just the right time, because God is so rich in mercy, he came and died for our sins, paying them for us, for all who would believe in him, that we should be free people, free from the shackles of sin, free from having to obey sin and be its slave, and rather to live free to obey Christ and to have eternal life with him. And that in the ages to come, Ephesians says, that God would be able to explain to us how much he has loved us by letting Christ Jesus die on the cross for us. Such is the love of God that it will take the ages to come for him to explain how much he's loved us. That's how much God loves you. As we've looked through this, as we've seen this, then the gospel shared, then Paul goes into a time in chapter 4 and 5, and here at the beginning of 6, where he explains how we are to live knowing this, what sorts of things we are to do as a believer. And finally, we end here with this exhortation to stand firm, to stand strongly in the Lord. The first thing that you need to understand from this passage is what this battle is about. He's talking about armor, he's talking about standing, he's talking about all these things, but what's the battle about? What's the battle over? It's very important that you first note in chapter 12 that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but our struggle is against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You might at times get it confused. Who is this enemy that is around us? It's not people. People, flesh and blood, people are the battlefield that we are fighting over, this spiritual battle. We ourselves are the battlefield that this battle is being waged upon. You might be confused, as we are Americans and very proud of it, rightly so, that America is in various conflicts, is in various battles, is involved where there are evil men doing evil things and oppressing innocent people. We go and we fight. We do what is right as much as we can, wherever we can. And this is good and right for a country to do. It's also perfectly acceptable and worth saluting that believers will go and do this too on behalf of our country, to provide freedom, to protect people wherever they are. It's worth celebrating. But that's not our battle as Christians. Our primary battle at Christians is a spiritual one. I would be remiss if I did not let you know that 180 years ago, this day, 180 years ago, this very day, the Alamo fell in Texas. I would be remiss to not let you know, well, you all celebrated Texas Independence Day, right, this week? We were all celebrating that together, weren't we? I wasn't the only one, you know, having a barbecue and getting ready for Texas Independence Day properly. Texas Independence Day was celebrated this past week for all Texans in Texas and abroad, like myself. We're proud of the old republic. It's beautiful to be here in South Carolina, but I'm going to have to make fun of this for a long time, all right, and cling on to this. I'm going to have to be a Cowboys fan too, unfortunately. 180 years ago today, the Alamo fell. There was a battle going on for liberty. There was a tyrant, Santa Anna, who threw away the Mexican Constitution, who declared himself the sole ruler of the area, who put away all local government, and the citizens, the Texans and Tejanos there in the area at the time, rebelled against him for their freedom. And it was good and right and worth remembering, and they won their liberty. However, years before that battle, 180 years ago, this church was started and was already spreading the gospel on this location. See, I'm proud of my heritage, as you ought to be proud of your heritage. We could have just as easily talked about the American Revolution War. It's a smaller footnote in history than the Texas one, but it's there. It's important. That's a part of our heritage as Americans, but our battle is older than that and goes on even now. We're not battling over people. People are not our enemy. Rather, we are battling on behalf of people that they could know as well, that before Christ comes to judge the world rightly, that they could be a part of his kingdom, because he waited patiently on you and I. When you came to trust Jesus Christ for the first time, before that, you were an enemy of God. You were on the wrong side. What you did in salvation, in conversion, was to leave the enemy's side, to throw your hands up and surrender before God and say, please spare my life. And scripture is clear that to anyone who comes to him, who says, I will make Jesus my Lord now, for them they will be forgiven their sins and find eternal life. Amen. Scripture says very clearly that God is patient, that the reason he hasn't returned to restore everything and set it all right is that he is patient towards you, not wanting any to be lost. God patiently waited for you who are believers today, and he patiently waits for everyone else, that we could be a part of the proclamation of the gospel to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors, that they too may trust in Christ and find their salvation and find eternal life in him. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is against spiritual forces. This is one of the primary differences between Christianity and Islam. The question I pose for you today is, could you put somebody under duress and force them to be a good Muslim? Could you put the knife to somebody and say, you're going to be a good Muslim now or else? Could you make them, force them to be one? The answer is yes. It's a series of rules for obedience. You could, and this is done all over the world right now, you could violently insist that someone obey the laws of Islam. You could make them Muslim, because Muslim means a person who observes those things. Now I ask you, could you, under duress, force somebody to be a good Christian? Could you put the knife to somebody and force them to be a Christian? No, you couldn't. Our faith is based on believing in Jesus Christ as Lord. No matter how much you might want to insist that some of your family members, some of your neighbors believe in Christ as Lord, you just simply cannot make them. We all have to make a choice in our life where we say, you know what? I do believe. I am going to obey Jesus as my Lord. Do you see that at its very center, our faith is not against flesh and blood? It is a spiritual battle. And that's why the armor that God has provided for us is a spiritual armor. Look at the armor of God with me. Look at these things that he says. Here's what we have. Verse 13, Paul says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield, which is faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Truth, righteousness, readiness from the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, the very word of God that we have in Scripture. These are the tools that God has provided you for standing firm in this life. The promise here, you may have heard at one time that the gospel is this: trust Jesus, he'll give you everything. You may have heard at some point the gospel is Jesus wants you to be healthy and he wants you to be wealthy, and everyone who is healthy and wealthy, they're obviously being blessed by God and God approves of their lifestyle. You may have heard that prosperity in this life is why you are saved. It's not correct. Rather, what does Scripture say? He desires all men to be saved. The inheritance we have from him is an eternal inheritance. The inheritance we have from God is that we will inherit eternal life with him, the kingdom of heaven, that we will participate and get to be a part of his kingdom when it comes in its fullness, if we participate in his kingdom now, even as it is here, with the Holy Spirit amongst us. So the armor that we have, the things that we have been given are this: truth. Truth is assailed every day. Truth is attacked constantly in our lives. When people say, well, I know I'm supposed to do this, but I kind of want to do that, so surely it's all right too, right? In the world, everything looks gray. It looks like nothing's true. This is even worse in an election cycle, where a candidate will say one thing one day, the very next day say the next thing, and say, well, that's just something I said yesterday. You can't hold me to that. As if there was no such thing as truth. And yet, truth is a part of the armor that God has given you. The truth when things get hard, knowing that God loves you very much, the truth that Christ is returning, the truth that everyone who believes in him will have their salvation, truth, knowing that no matter whether people acknowledge it or not, no matter what else is said in the world, the truth that God created it all, that he's near, that he loves you very much, is what will sustain you on the day of trouble. Faith we have, righteousness we have, a readiness with gospel peace, our salvation, these are the things that we have. Do not neglect righteousness in your life. Do not forget that your personal righteousness is a part of the armor that protects you from evil. If it's broken, if there is no righteousness in your life, how will you stand? Rather, let your personal righteousness be an armor to protect you while you go about doing God's work. Our faith, our salvation is, of course, the very center of what we have in Christ. That we know, no matter what, the victory's already been won. See, as for this battle, how this goes, it works like this. It's already happened. The whole battle has already taken place. Christ conquered death. What was the enemy? The enemy is Satan. This enemy is of darkness. And what power is there in sin? Well, in sin there's death. But death's already been conquered. Do you know that Jesus Christ died for your sins, but he didn't stay dead? That he rose again and he's alive. What enemy do we have left? There's no sting left in death for us. We know that our dear loved ones who've gone on before us will rise also if they were in Christ. Our faith shields us, knowing that there is no penalty, no punishment left. Even the worst, death, has been conquered by Jesus Christ. Look here again at verse 15. Your feet are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Do not forget that your feet, the fittings of the armor of God, is readiness. That is to say, if when you read this and you heard Paul say, stand, stand, this is so you'll be able to stand, this is for when you have to take your stand, you thought that standing in faith meant standing still. But surely not, because you're wearing boots, you're wearing shoes that are fitted for readiness. Ready for what? Ready to be a part of the expansion of the kingdom of God. God waits that more could be saved. Our purpose is to be a part of his plan. What a joy it is to get to be a part of the work of God. Do you see? Back when I was in high school, I played some football. It's fun. Did you play football when you were in high school? Did you play some sports? There was a thing that was happening as a wee freshman in high school. We would show up for the first days of summer practice and we'd get our uniform, right? And the uniform was fresh, somewhat fresh. Yours might have been years old and well used by the time you got to it. My high school was brand new, and so when I arrived there, everything was pristine. These helmets and shoulder pads and jerseys, nobody wore them the season before. It was all just sparkling clean and new. And so we donned our jerseys and our helmets, and at first, for the first day, it was, hey, look at us. Look how clean we look in this. Look how cool I am in all my football gear. It makes you look like you have muscles, even if you're a tiny, scrawny little freshman. But it comes about quickly that you don't want to have the cleanest uniform on the team. Right? Being a little marked up shows that you're actually doing something. You know, if your goal is to keep it pristine and polished, wait, what were you doing? How much conflict were you avoiding? How far out of the game were you that you have this pristine uniform? Maybe go bang your helmet against something a little bit to make it look a little more dirty. You look like you were a part of something. Remember guys, after some crazy play where they just got beaten up by a bunch of other people, you know, come out with clumps of grass stuck in their helmet, you know, pads all moved around, you kind of got to straighten them out again. What a badge of honor that they actually got to be a part of something, that they were doing something in the competition. Such as it is in our faith, we're not made for standing still. We are made for standing firm, but we are not here for standing still. Christ has armored you with these things, with a knowledge of the truth, with your salvation, with your faith, with his word. Not simply so that you can stand still, but so that you can stand firm as you are a part of his work. During worship, Larry mentioned to me, I might have said in my announcements at the beginning, I don't think I said this, I think I said it correctly, that I might have said, talking about hammocks, something about, you know, senior old ladies. Did you hear that? I didn't say that. I said senior adult, right? I said it correctly. Did I say it wrong? No, I would never use the O word. I mean, I would never use the O word with you. Did that happen? Senior adult, I apologize. The sinuses and the allergies in the air. Mean it. I would never use that word. Because look, seriously, Psalm 93 says, I got hecklers in the loft. Psalm 93 says that the righteous are like trees that are green to a very old age and that they bear fruit into a very old age. You, okay, here's the O word. You, whatever age you are not too old to be a part of the work of God. Can you put a sentence together? Did you know that faith comes by hearing? The joy of being a part of Talitha as we go about doing the work of evangelism is how I have to run to keep up with how willing to share the gospel some of our senior adults are. What a delight it is to have some of the oldest in our congregation setting the pace for the rest of us. Because in Christ, we continue to wear and wear out this armor to a very old age. In the world, you become disposable after you retire. In the kingdom of heaven, we never stop growing. We never stop getting closer to Christ. Perhaps for you, your best days sharing the gospel are ahead of you. We have a prayer here at Talitha that works no matter what age you are. And the prayer is this: Father God, let me lead one more person to Christ before my day comes. See, it works no matter what age you are. Father God, if I could just lead one more person to Christ before my day. It's an excellent prayer. Take it for yourself. Get mileage out of it. Pray in this way, as Scripture here commands us to pray. This election cycle is nuts. This thing is crazy, what's going on. I mean, it's a roller coaster out there. But you notice three of the top candidates, both parties, are in their 70s? Did you notice that? Bernie, Hillary's 69. She's right there on the cusp. But did you notice that three of the candidates are in their 70s? What person in their 70s wants to take on the hardest job in the world? And yet, what encouragement for you and I that we're not done, that there's no retirement for us in the kingdom of heaven. There is only continued opportunity for us to lift up the name of Jesus Christ as holy, for us to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord wherever we go. Paul continues on after listing off the armor of God and says in verse 18, this piece that is not included frequently in the list of the armor, but is absolutely right here, is prayer. Verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Then Paul says, pray also for me, that when I speak, the words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare fearlessly as I should. He says fearlessly twice. What does it mean for you? It's a cause for celebration for us. Because Paul, this apostle who was called by Christ, who was persecuting sinners, who was the worst of the worst, this man who was a murderer and an evil person, Christ called him and let him be a part of it. And when Paul comes to Christ, Paul is crazy. The pace that he works at, the amount of churches that he starts, the time he spends proclaiming the gospel all over the world, who can keep up with this guy? And yet Paul asks his church to pray that he would fearlessly declare as he should. Friends, if you ever, knowing you're supposed to share the gospel with somebody, are a bit timid about it, you're in good company. Paul, too, asks that they would pray that he would do it fearlessly. If you know there's somebody who lives in your neighborhood that you need to share the gospel with, that you need to invite to church, and you're afraid of it, and you're a little nervous and intimidated, and you live with this guilt that why should I be so ashamed and afraid? You're not alone. This is all of us, even going back to Paul here. And yet, he requests that they pray he would do this fearlessly. Our prayer for each other, my prayer for you, is that you too would be fearless in sharing the gospel this week. Who is it that is missing here today? Who is it around you in your life that if Christ returned today would not be with us having eternal life with Jesus Christ? God is patient, but not forever. He'll return. But he's patient at least for today for you to go share with somebody. Don't know what the words are? Don't worry. Scripture says the words will be given to you. Need a help and an aid? I've put out on the back table there a lot of tracts. If you need to take a tract with you today that explains the gospel, there's this one for adults. There's this one for children. Take one with you. Go and walk somebody through it. Read it to them. Children, you can show them the pictures. Adults, take and walk through and read to them what salvation is, what choice they need to make. It's out there. Take one or two with you. There's probably not more for you to take two, but take one or two and come back next week empty-handed, having shared the gospel with somebody, having handed it out to somebody, having been a part, having gotten a little dirt on the armor of God, having worked in his kingdom. I will be praying for you, even as you go out and do these things. You be praying for me, even as I go out and do these things. And over all of this, let's be praying together. Jesus, come soon. Come soon and set all this right. Listen, if today is your day that you realize in hearing all of this, you have not actually trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you are, as the scripture said, just dead in your trespasses and sin, that you are by nature a children of wrath, and that you don't know that if Christ returned today, that would be a good day for you. If you're unable to pray, Jesus, come soon and fix things, because you're not sure that you have salvation, then have it today. Scripture says everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, that you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Today's your day to declare publicly, I give up. I'm in. Jesus, you're Lord. I won't fight against it anymore. I will no longer live as an enemy of your name and of your kingdom. Today is your day. Then come and have the salvation that we all share. Let us celebrate with you today. I'm going to pray, and we're going to sing a song together. We'll stand and sing. But as I pray, if you need to come forward for whatever reason. We're a coming forward church. If you need to come and just kneel here and make a confession to the Lord, if you need to come and just kneel here and make a commitment to him, what you will do, if you want to come and pray over somebody who is lost that you need to share the gospel with, and you just need to come and pray for fearlessness this week, you come and pray. If you need somebody to pray for you, you come forward and I'll put a hand on you. Just come find me down here and I will pray for you this morning. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then come forward and proclaim it loudly and boldly in front of all people that Jesus is Lord. If you need to be baptized, come forward today and announce it so that we can have you baptized. And if you'd like to be a member of this church, you may also come forward. Scripture is clear that there is no growth, that the way spiritual growth works is that we are being raised up together as the body of Christ. We are being built up together into a dwelling place for the Lord. You can't grow up in faith apart from a congregation. Come forward for membership today if you need to, and allow us to vote you into membership if you are a believer. For whatever reason you need to come forward today, come on, let's pray together, then we'll move forward. Father God, I thank you that you have been so kind to us. I thank you that you have equipped us in every way, that we have everything that we need to be a part of your kingdom, that none of us are lacking anything, that we have the truth, that we have the word of God, that we have the gospel of peace, that we have our faith and we have our salvation. We're not missing any piece that we need to be a part of your work. Father, since you have so equipped us, I pray that you would help us to fearlessly declare you as Lord in the world around us. Father God, put your spirit on us to give us strength, that we could stand firm in belief until you return. More than anything, I pray, come soon, Lord. As I pray in your name, amen. Let's stand and sing together. If you need to come forward, you come forward now.